Let's go around the motu and speak this morning with Kelly Makiha, who's in Rotorua. Kia ora, good morning.
Kia ora, how are you, Susie?
I'm really well, thank you. Thanks for being with us this morning, Kelly. I guess for an awful lot of people, when they think of Rotorua at the moment, one of the things that does pop into their minds is the situation with emergency housing. What's happening there with the numbers?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is fair to say that that's possibly what pops into people's heads, but we're true blue hearty Rotorua people here, and we're hoping that that once again Rotorua is going to return to be known as the tourism jewel in New Zealand's crown, and known for its geothermal wonders and Māori culture and all the rest of it. And we're actually on the right track. It has been a really, really difficult time for Rotorua in the last couple of years, and we do say that with a heavy heart. I've been at the forefront of reporting on this issue for the Rotorua Daily Post, and it has been really heartbreaking to tell the story of what's happened, and basically where it stemmed from is when COVID struck, there was a direction that, to put people who found themselves sleeping rough or homeless into Rotorua's motels, and we have so many of them. There were no visitors because the borders were shut, so we had the beds to put them in, and absolutely everyone said that that was a great idea. We needed to stop the spread and having people sort of roaming around interacting with each other was dangerous to everyone's health, so they were put into motels. What happened was, as the lockdown levels lifted, I guess most locals thought that things would get back to what we thought was normal, and in inverted quotes. But what seemed to happen is that the motels just keep filling up, and they were filling up at a rate of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds each week. And suddenly we found ourselves with more than 680 motels, 680 households in our motels in Rotorua. And that's huge numbers. I mean, we're talking, thousands of people, hundreds of people, over 1,000 people. And it had a big impact on the city. And a lot of them, some of them were obviously, from Rotorua, and they had legitimate reasons for being homeless. Rotorua's really struggled to keep pace with building over the years, and our housing crisis, I guess, has been more difficult than most, because we haven't been consenting new homes like we should have been over that time. And yeah, I mean, it all just sort of culminated into this situation that really kind of spiraled. So nobody in Rotorua would ever, want to take away a home from somebody who deserved it. But I guess a lot of the anger came from locals feeling like Rotorua was being used as a dumping ground for out-of-town homeless. Now, government departments have always said, and politicians, and trust me, I've asked them dozens of times, pretty much every week. I'm sure Megan Woods will tell you that. But they have said that it's not been their policy to bring people, actively bring people out of town to Rotorua. But a lot of these people, they're not locals. We don't, I've spoken to them. They're from Gisborne, they're from Whakatane, they're from Tauranga. They're not all locals. But anyway, the fight continued. Locals sort of rallied together, and there were some lobby groups that were set up that really took on the challenge. They got lawyered up, like big powerful lawyers were working for these community residents, and it was all funded by locals, just to fight bureaucracy, really, and how is this happening to Rotorua. And it ended pretty much at the end of last year, where they had this resource consent hearing where it all came to a fore, and a lot of the stories of how it's impacting locals came out, a lot of media attention as well. Just myself alone, I've written more than 120 stories in 1 year on this issue. And of course we've had some national media television coverage as well, and other media have covered it as well. But at the end of last year, we signed Rotorua signed a housing accord with the government and local council and iwi, and how there's been a huge turnaround in the last few months, and there's excitement again in our beautiful city, and people are feeling really, really confident again that we're getting back to the way things were, and that's simply because the numbers have been dropping, and so that's a lot of hard work by a lot of people, getting people into houses and making a difference. So I think it's just been a big combination of everything sort of finally coming together, and it's getting better.
Which is good to hear. And speaking of housing, Kaingaora building houses, some locals though not wanting the new neighbours.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's always a tricky one. Like right from the beginning, even like when I was writing all these stories about the motels and the emergency housing situation, everyone would say we need houses, and I'd be, thumping their chest saying, they need to be in proper houses, not in motels. But then suddenly it's like, okay, there's a vacant section next to you on your street, and Kāinga Ora are going to build, six high density 3-story apartments there, and suddenly they don't like that either. So it's like, well.
Nothing like a spot of NIMBYism.
Well, not. I mean, there is that, and well, I mean, I hate to say that there is that, but there. I guess where locals are coming from is there's a lot of fear. Rotorua has been through a tough time. We were with what they've seen here locally in the last few years with some of the people that were in the emergency housing. I mean, nobody's going to want to live next to any of that, and it really was pretty bad for some of these locals. And so the trust isn't there. Kāinga Ora is obviously a different kettle of fish. That's our public housing system. But then again, there's been a lot of media attention nationwide as well about how they haven't been the greatest of landlords. They very rarely boot people out of their homes if they're behaving badly. And so if you've worked really hard all your life, you've built your home, you've got a beautiful place to stay, you've got your family there, and Kāinga Ora go and put 50 people next door to you, how do you know that they're not going to be all gang members that are going to cause trouble? Of course, there's going to be that anxiety. Look, Kāinga Ora, to their credit, have been working really, really hard in Rotorua, and they've been building a lot of homes quickly, and they've been meeting the public. They've been having these drop-in sessions. They've been putting their hand on their hearts and saying, "We will make sure that there's good people in here. We will be keeping an eye on them." I tend to think because Rotorua has been noisy, it has really stuck up for itself that they're going to hold Kāinga Ora to account, and I think Kāinga Ora would be very brave, to build these houses here and to put people in them and not act on any raru-raru behaviour that locals don't think is acceptable. So time's going to tell on that. So there's lots and lots of building projects underway. That Kāinga Ora have got. One of them is on the corner of Ranoff and Melfoy Road, which is a sort of near the centre of town there, and it's going to be like the first, I guess, high density apartment style living that Rotorua has seen. We don't have that. Like you drive through Tauranga, even Auckland, Hamilton, and there is a lot of high density, multi-storied apartments, and Rotorua just hasn't had that before. And I guess we're a little bit spoilt in some ways. But where Kāinga Ora are coming from is that it's nothing to fear. It's just the way housing is these days, and how it's built.
A change certainly coming. I'd love to talk about these next two stories. We've got about 3 minutes left, so I hope we can get through
Oh,
both
right.
of them.
Gosh, I get so passionate about housing, you see. I just think I've got
Well,
this goal.
from housing to dumped trolleys,
Oh, yeah, sure.
$5,000 a month that ratepayers are
I
paying.
know. Yeah, so this story appeared from our local democracy reporter, Laura Smith, last week, and yes, the locals kind of kicked up a bit about it. We had a lot of engagement on our social media about it, but yeah, so it turns out the local council, which is us, the ratepayers, are paying $5,000 a month to collect dumped trolleys around Rotorua because it's seen as being, part of, like, I guess, littering, like a dump. car that suddenly becomes the council's responsibility. A local lobby resident group, the Rotorua District Residents and Ratepayers Association, headed by the one and only Reynold McPherson, he's saying that it should be Kāinga Ora who pick up the tab for this. But how do we know who's dumping the shopping trolleys? So really, it's just one of those ones, could go around in circles. Supermarkets and warehouse and all that kind of thing, they already pay to pick them up. So yeah.
But tell me, Kelly, this locally written musical shedding light on life in Māori families in the 1970s, you've got a bit of a special interest in this one.
Well, I do, yeah. So it was opening night last night of 8 Scott Ave, the sequel, which is it's a beautiful musical written by the one and only talented Jack Grace, who's an amazing singer and artist in Rotorua, and he's written the story, and he had his first show at the beginning of just before COVID struck, and it was to sell out audiences. And basically, it tells the story of your typical Māori family growing up in the 1970s, who they don't have a lot. They don't have a lot of money. There's kids everywhere. There's boil up in the pot, and everyone's friends with their neighbours. Everyone knows each other. The kids are playing marbles and cutter ball. They don't have a lot, but when they get together and sing, they have everything, and they have wealth, and they have love, and they're rich. And it's a beautiful story. So. The first one, yeah, 3 or 4 years ago, sold out. This time around, he's written the sequel, and he asked yours truly to be in it, because I moonlight as a bit of a singer, and so I'm in the show and play the part of the lead character's estranged wife who comes back into town, and
Are you
I
touring?
don't know.
Will you come to a city near me?
Well, there's talk that it could go on the road, and like I said, it is a very Rotorua story, but it could be any town, it could be any street, it could be any family, and I think
Indeed.
it's going to resonate with a lot of people. So yeah, it's a great show.
Kia ora, thank you very much for telling us about that. That is Kelly Makiha in Rotorua.